Yeah, I totally forgot to tell you about Faith, about the meetings there. I really didn't get any details. I was so excited to have the kids in the studio yesterday, Jake and Ariana Hill, that I completely forgot about it. So I'm going to take care of that today. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, boy, wasn't that something? I tell you that, Ariana, she's something else, right? She's got the truth there, man. If I need a vacation day, I'm going to have her fill in. That'd be a lot of fun. She talks with that little lisp, just cute as can be. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender, and we're going to finish up in Ezekiel 37 today after I tell you about faith. Great meeting. Thanks to Alan Hess once again for teaching that ecclesia. There were, on average, 80 people in attendance. Largest group, you know, I've ever spoken to. And it's about as big as it's going to get, I think. So people there are just fun. They're knowledgeable. They're friendly. They talk like strangely, you know, like y'all. And y'all come back now here. Just lovely, actually. I was joking to say strange. It's lovely. I love that. Love that North Carolina accent. Just pure heaven to me. And Waylon and Regina Dabbs came up from Fort Lauderdale, and they're from that region. They're from that area. That's where they met Alan Hess. They're all from North Carolina. And Waylon introduced Alan Hess to the truth, and Alan Hess has taken it to his congregation. Amazing that these ex-Baptists, and boy, you got to watch the videos. Go to studyshelf.com. I don't know if Aaron has them up yet, but on Sunday morning, Clyde gave a heck of a talk on the horrors of eternal torment, and he got more Baptist than I've ever heard him. I mean, that guy went in the full Baptist mode. He pulled out all the stops, scared me for a couple times there, but it's really powerful testimony. Well, he was surrounded by ex-Baptists, so, and he was in North Carolina, so he just channeled the Baptist spirit, but with the right message, Clyde did. So I really enjoy that on Sunday morning. So go to studyshelf.com. I haven't looked at it yet. I don't listen to my talks after I'm done with them. Once is enough for me, but listen to Clyde's because it was really great. They were all good, but Sunday morning was fantastic. And then spending some extra couple days with Dan Sheridan and Alan Hess, that was a good time of a fellowship. I lingered. I'm a lingerer. I'm one of those lingerers. I gotta admit that. I like to hang out. I'm a hangout kind of guy. And again, my computer was screwing up for real. The speakers wouldn't work. And what else was? Oh, my mouse wouldn't work. It helps to replace the batteries on those things. Anyway, decided to take the week off for these shows. So from now on, I'm gonna try to announce that. I'm gonna try to plan when I take the time off so that you're not taken aback, so I don't abruptly abandon you, or you don't feel abandoned, because I don't want you to feel that way. But here we are, we're back, full week of shows, going to finish up two shows today and tomorrow on the Lost Ten Tribes. Verse 25, Ezekiel 37, and they shall live on the land that I gave to Jacob my servant. That's the only land this could possibly be, is Israel. It's the Middle East. It's the land of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, by the way, happens to be the geographical center of the earth. You know, he arranged all the nations around his people Israel. There's a verse that says something like that. Well, it's literal. Every nation is arranged around the centerpiece, which is Israel. It's the geographic center of the earth. Like some place in Iowa is the geographical center of the 48 states. Well, Jerusalem's the geographical center of the landmass of the planet Earth, and the kingdom is going to be run from there someday. Won't the preterists be surprised? In which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons' sons, for the eon. And David my servant shall be their prince for the eon. David is going to be raised, as I mentioned yesterday. And I will make a covenant, verse 26. I'll make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an aeonian covenant with them. It's going to last for the eon, the thousand-year kingdom eon, eon number 4. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in their midst for the eon. In other words, the temple is going to be back. And there are going to be sacrifices as a memorial to teach the nations. Remember, I told you, the nations are going to be in the place in the kingdom where Israel has been now, in a place of learning about God. Israel will have finally mastered it because God put the law in their hearts, and now they're going to teach the nations. So the nations are going to be learning through the sacrifices like Israel was supposed to learn through the sacrifices. Verse 27, my dwelling place also will be with them. I will be their God. They will be my people. How can you tell, God? Because he's God. They will be my people. How can you tell? I used to tell my kids, you guys are going to bed at 9 o'clock. How can you tell? That was Luke. How can you tell? because I'm going to send you there. I'm the small g God. I'm the Lord of my domain. That's why. And my dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God. They will be my people. How can you tell? Because he's El, subjects lovingly. He's a benign subjector. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel. How can you tell? When my sanctuary is in their midst for the eon. That's Ezekiel 37. That's a pregnant chapter. So is 36. Having to do with what, how God's going to bring the house of Israel, which has been lost to itself even, back to the land, and rejoin it with the house of Judah. The house of Judah, you might say, is established. The recognizable Jews in Jerusalem, even though there are very, 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 very few of them who are real, true Jews. They might be Jews, you know, in name only. I mean, Abraham had two sons, you know, one out of bondage, one out of promise. Actually, the son out of bondage, Ishmael, or the Arabs. The Arabs and the Jews are still fighting. That's because Ishmael and Isaac fought. This fraternal strife come down to modern day. That's why you still have the enmity between the seeds of Abraham. So the true sons of Abraham are the sons of faith. And yes, you can be a son of faith in the circumcision. We're of the faith of Abraham. We have faith like Abraham in that he believed the declaration of God. True Israelites also have faith. It's the faith in accord with the circumcision gospel, must be accompanied by works and law keeping. Of course, a true Israelite can't keep the law today because there's no temple, but they can hold fast to the law in expectation that when the Lord returns, he will write the law on their hearts, and they will do it flawlessly. Israel, be reminded, in the 1,000 years, is still in the realm of law, which is why there is no justification. We're still in the realm of forgiveness. People are justified apart from works of law, Romans 3:28. So the only way you can talk about justification is to get rid of law. Anytime you're talking about law, you can't be talking about justification because you're either not doing law or you're doing law. Israel, for thousands of years, has not done law. When God puts it on their hearts, they're going to do it. So they're still doing law, still in the realm of law, therefore still in the realm of forgiveness. It's like forgiveness is waiting in the wings, but it's not needed because they're doing it perfectly because God's spirit is in them. Now, it reminds me of a trip to Detroit. Detroit, Michigan, I think the year was 1998 or something like that. And I was invited to speak at a church up there. I think it's called the Bible Restoration Church. It was in a suburb of Detroit. Can't remember which one. Detroit, as the French would say. Can't remember which suburb it was, but it was the Bible Restoration Church. And Jory Brooks was the pastor of that church. And Jory Brooks believed in the salvation of all. And I believed in the salvation of all. And so on that theme, he had me come up to teach. And Dean Huff would attend that church to hear me speak on the salvation of all. And Dean spoke a couple of times. Dean lives in Almont, Michigan, which is only a few miles north of Detroit, 30 or so miles. So I would come up there from Ohio once a month, and Dean would come down, and we'd meet there, and I would teach on the salvation of all. Well, one day, one Sunday, I kind of got tired of making that drive. It was a long haul for me, and I thought, I'm just going to take a chance, because this was an Israelite church, okay? Restoration Bible Church. They believed that they were the lost 10 tribes of Israel, and they were. I actually gave them credit for that, but they had maps of the Holy Land all over the place. Now, mind you, these were not your classic Orthodox Jews. Men did not have dreadlocks. Women did not have head coverings. They weren't dressed in black. They weren't serving lox and bagels and a lamb. But they were zealous for the things of the law. And they had the Ten Commandments posted on the church. And so they were Israelites. And they understood the truths that I've been telling you of the lost 10 tribes. Okay, well, here's what I decided to do. I decided to throw a big rock in their little pond. I was going to teach on justification. But as I just told you, in order to teach on justification, I would have to teach justified apart from law. So I started the talk this way. I said, I recognize that you are part of the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. And there was the noise of affirmation. They were very pleased, like, oh, yes. And I know that you recognize your lost identity and that you realize that you're sons of Jacob. Oh, yes. Murmurs of approval throughout the crowd. Very, very positive. And now I turned a corner dramatically. And now I want to tell you why it doesn't matter. Quiet, dead quiet. They didn't like that too much. They were stunned. And I said, you are only aware of justification. I mean, you're only aware of forgiveness. You're only aware of pardon. That's because it's the best thing you have under law. If you transgress the law, which you're all doing by the hour, by the day, you have forgiveness. I want to teach you about justification. And I said, justification can only come apart from law. You can only be justified when you're out of the sphere of law. And then I brought them the example of Paul, who was an Israelite, a Benjamite, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, very proud of his nationality as Saul. And I said, he came to recognize his nationality as refuse, as garbage for the excellency of the high calling of Christ. And I started to preach the high calling of Christ. I started to take them to a celestial destiny. I challenged them to believe a new truth. Well, why shouldn't I? I decided to go for it. Paul went for it. He taught he did teach Israel, like in Hebrews, he's teaching Israel their own message. But I think when he talked to individuals, he brought them the gospel of the uncircumcision to see if any would jump ship. Now, Peter, we know, did not jump ship. Peter heard Paul's message, but he recognized it wasn't for him. And so almost every single person at this church, as I began to teach the gospel of the uncircumcision, I could feel the room change, and they were toning me out. They were phasing me out, and it suddenly got cold, and I suddenly realized I was teaching into a brick wall, and the sweat started to trickle from my forehead, and yet I continued on as the trooper that I am, and I gave them Paul. Why not try? See what happens. Well, I saw what happened. That was the last message I ever delivered at that church. They were Israelites. Okay, I knew they were Israelites. I knew they were literal Israelites, but maybe some would hear their message. Well, in fact, somebody heard their message. Wait till I tell you what happened after that talk. I mean, immediately after it, as I'm dabbing the sweat from my brow, a woman came up to me, and it really pictured for me. It was first century drama, pictured for me the truth of what's happening today, that the circumcision gospel and the uncircumcision gospel are still both going out, contrary to what you might have heard. One is an active evangel, the uncircumcision, one is an evangel in waiting. But I'm going to tell you tomorrow's going to be part 12 of the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. The last part, I'm going to cram it in, finish it tomorrow, because I got to stop at 12. That's a beautiful Israelite number. If it takes me 20, 25, 30 minutes tomorrow, I'm going to finish this series. Going to leave you in a little bit in suspense. If you want the end of this story before I tell you about it tomorrow, you can read The First Idiot in Heaven. The last chapter, I talk about this event in a suburb of Detroit, Michigan, back in 1996. Stay tuned. Come back here tomorrow, and we're going to finish up this, what I think is a fascinating series that will be a testimony for the eons that God is true to his promises.